and in the evenings we show movies. And we show Jack Chick's movie, The Light of the World. But before we show it, we show a cartoon. And it kind of gives a chance to draw the kids in like that. Now what has happened, there's been an effort to take the Chick track and put it in a DVD. So far, two of them has been done, The Sissy and Tiny Shoes. And like the guy said, all it takes is money. There's a stoppage right now because of money. But anyway, there's two of them out now, and this is Tiny Shoes. This is one of the cartoons we show in the evening before we show The Light of the World. It has nothing to do with the work we do in the daytime in the schools, but I'd like to show this to you, then show you the work, the 12-minute work that we do. So if somebody would run this thing for me.
You put the, just put it on that little tray up there, brother, and okay, here you go, and
that's always been fragile to be pastor.
All right.
Let's see.
Now, if this don't make you cry, you don't have a crying machine. This one here. Got to hit that button, preacher, that says English. I don't know how to do it. You got to
play.
Play.
I got to have lights to play.
Yeah, lights. Okay. So what we needed was a young person. That's right. Thank you, son.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
little Bucky? Let's get into that card game. You can double your money.
Bring Juan another drink.
You lose again, Juan. It's too bad. It's time to go home, Juan. It's closing time.
Already?
Oh, Juan, you're drunk again. Where is the money for food?
It's all gone. I don't know what happened. I gotta get some sleep. Leave me alone. Oh, my head.
Papa, did you bring me my tiny shoes?
Go away, Juanito. I have a headache. I'm sick.
You said I could trust you, Papa. You lied. And God won't let liars into heaven.
Shut up, Juanito. Get out of here.
I love you, Papa. And Jesus loves you, too. Oh, God, make my Papa stop lying so he can go to heaven. My feet hurt. Please make him buy my shoes.
Father, whatever it takes to save my husband, please do it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Here's your bag, Juan. Juan, are you a woman? Can't you do what you want? My wife doesn't tell me what to do.
Be a man, Juan. Just one drink, okay?
I feel lucky tonight. Can I play?
It's good old Juan. You can play with us anytime, Juan. Where's your money?
Everybody's gone, Juan. I've got to put you outside. Come on, you drunken bum.
Look at that mare. Is he dead?
Nah, he's drunk.
Where am I? Oh, my head.
Juan, how could you? You saw it. I'll have to get a job so we can eat.
No, your place is in the home. I am a proud man. I'll earn the money.
Papa, I cut my foot on some glass. Did you get my tiny shoes?
Before God, I promise I'll be a good husband and father. I'll bring home my salary. I won't gamble anymore, and Juanito, I swear, I'll buy you your tiny shoes. I promise.
Hold on. Please keep your word. We love you, Papa. I know you're bringing my tiny shoes.
I'll be home tonight with one of those shoes and the money.
Be careful, Juan. A storm is coming. Papa, I'm so excited. You won't let me down, Papa. Not this time. Oh, Juanito, your little foot looks worse. You mustn't stand on it. It hurts, Mama. Where's Papa?
Here's your baby, Juan. You better hurry home. The storm's getting worse.
Juan, are you going with us to the saloon?
Not tonight. I've got to give my son his shoes.
Juan, it's cold tonight. We need to get warm. The saloon's on the way. Just one little break, Juan. I'll pay for it.
Okay. Just one little drink, and I go home. Is that understood?
Juan, you can trust us. We are your best friends. Well, let's go.
Oh, God. Don't let Juan go to the saloon tonight. Stop him.
I feel sick, Mama.
You love these shoes. They are beautiful.
to bring it out. I can't cross it tonight.
Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart.
Quick, you get the lights. And the young man that helped us will put in this other one. Now, this is a 12-minute video on the work that we do in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe was formerly Rhodesia. And they kicked all the white farmers out, and they got no money, they got nothing. And it's the greatest mission field in the world. Now, I think what we're going to have to do, son, is hit it twice. There'll be a little music, then we'll hit it twice. The average wage there, if you can get a job, is $2 a day. The life expectancy is 35 for a woman and 34 for a man. They have hardly anything to eat. If malaria doesn't get them, or cholera, or starvation, something gets them. But for soul winning, God has, in the 30s, in the 40s and 50s, it's going now, in the 40s and 50s, God has, a lot of Southern Baptist missionaries went down there and cultivated, did the work down there. And now the fruit is just on the tree. It's just ready to be picked. It's the greatest soul-winning place I know in the whole world. And if you want to win souls, if you want to go to a place where they're interested in the Lord Jesus Christ, where they won't blow you off, where they won't laugh at you, where they'll ask you about Jesus, where they're not ashamed of Him. You've got to be white, college-educated to believe there's no God. Down there, they know there's a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. There's no problem there. They don't know about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to just ask Him to come in their heart, forgive their sins, and save them. And they have a certain respect for white missionaries. So this 12-minute here video will show you a little bit. These kids are precious. They're just precious. They're innocent. They got no Nintendos, big TVs, and they're happy. You smile at them, they'll smile at you. You might say, well, you can get any little kid to follow you in the sinner's prayer. Yeah, I did. I followed a guy in the sinner's prayer when I was a little kid. When I preach, I let them know about sin. Let them know about lying and stealing. I preached 70 schools already. I got 1,000 to go. And when the 1,000's finished, I'll start all over again. I take somebody with me to preach the teens. I preach the little kids. This year I took Josh Millar, my nephew, PBI graduate, and he preached to the teens. If you get in an open field in a school with these chick tracks, they'll knock you over. They'll mob you. They'll beat you up to get these things. After the preaching, we line them up and control them somewhat. Try to. They all get a chick track to take home. If I had the money, I'd move over there. But I go around the country raising money. Fuel's $6.25 a gallon. Yeah, they run on the dollar now. Their money deflated. The banks are closed. They got no money. This kid on the right, Benton, he's 22 years old. He wants to work for Jesus Christ. He's a good boy. The Southern Baptist missionary, when they left, this man with the red shirt back there, his name is Rosert, and he's the director over 350 Southern Baptist churches. And they wanted him to have women preachers, and he said no. And so they left the little house. Sold it. They didn't get leave with him, but they left him that car. That car is 15, 18 years old. And that's the director. And we took him on for support, monthly support. And he's the first man in going to Africa in 7 years, white or black, that hasn't stolen and lied to me. Look at this, these kids here. That's their toys. And they're happy. This is just a little mining town where he went and preached to a soccer game. How long has it been since you passed out of track? How long has it been since you put your arm around somebody and led them to Jesus Christ? Tried to. Give him the gospel. How long's it been? Pray for your missionaries here. How long's it been? Every school I preach to runs 1,000 or more. Preach to one that's 1,500 students. Usually the elementary school and secondary are pretty close together. Now these buses are dynamite. You give a pack of tracks to each open window there, then they pass them around on the bus. Riding an African bus is quite an experience. You may end up with a chicken in your lap. On the streets, people come up and say, how do I get saved? They'll kneel with you on the concrete. That's my nephew, Josh. He came with me. He had been married 3 months. He spent about $40 a day on phone cards to his wife. Maybe 50. That's the soccer team there. This is the Kiberia slum, 750,000 slum, bigger than the city of New Orleans. They said there's never been a missionary down in the bottom of that slum before.
But I know God will do it, and His gospel will go forward with
Do not think the gospel still has power. It has the power to save. It's the listener. You go to Europe and Australia, New Zealand, France, England, they don't want to hear it. America, no, Canada, they don't want to hear it. But over here, in Africa, New Zealand, Philippines, they want to hear it there. So, Zimbabwe, I found my diamond mine. 3 years ago, 250,000 tracks. Last year, 200,000. This year, 250,000 tracks. They're there right now. They're having elections this year. I can't go right now because they put me on a plane at best and put me in prison at worst. They're having elections. And Robert Mugabe, the president's killed a lot of people to get where he is. He's 80, I think. And he's got a lot to answer for. So next year, when school starts, September 5th, we'll be going again. Like to go twice a year. Like to stay over there. But we're after the kids. That's where we're going. We go to, there's 1,000 schools, government schools. They're wide open. Wide open. Teachers start crying when they see us coming up. Church bought us a vehicle last year with high clearance, and we get to the schools with no electricity, and where the teachers stay and go home on the weekends to the Capitol. That's where the real action is. No electricity. I think electricity is of the devil. If we get the lights and that man to move the pulpit over for us. Thank you, honey. Matthew 25, please. Matthew 25. Boy, it's a real honor to be here and such a large crowd on Wednesday night. I thank you. I'm humbled to stand here. This is what you call a hot pulpit. I was talking to the preacher today about the pastor, and pray for Pastor Veach as he's gone now, and I was doing work, and for Pastor Dean as he's filling in. I'd like to introduce you to my wife, Janet. Stand up, honey. Give a wave. There you go. Good girl. Right. This is quite a place. Is this Staten Island? I'll tell you, it's a race car course to drive on this thing. People, what the? Guy gets behind me and goes, what does that mean? Speed up, you know. And yells at me as they go by. People zooming around and everything. You got to be those NASCAR drivers to drive on this thing here. People don't mess around. Tell you, it's really hard to drive. I don't know who runs the bookstore. Bookstore. Do you sell the bumper stickers in the bookstore? Does anyone know?
There's two from Dr. Ruffin.
There's two bumper stickers. Okay, we have some over there for sale. The bumper stickers over there for $5, and I've got some more in the truck. If you need a bumper sticker. Matthew 25. This is the money from Zimbabwe. Here's $50 billion. Anybody want to buy a house in the Bronx? $50 billion. This one, $50 billion. Anybody broke? We have anybody, Scottish here. Anybody from Scotland? Do we have any Scottish? Scottish people, my wife's Scottish. Anybody else from Scotland? Scots are, you don't call Scots cheap. You don't call them tight. You don't catch them mad. You can call them thrifty. You know, Janet's mother, she was kind of thrifty. Her and her husband, they would take one tea bag. Was it all day or 3 days, a week or something? They'd use one tea bag. Janet's uncle, he would, in Portland, Oregon, years ago, it cost $2 to put your garbage, to pick up the garbage, $2. And at night, after supper, he'd walk around the neighborhood with his garbage can, just put it in somebody's lid, you know, just to save the $2. You know, Scotties, they're kind of tight. Have you heard about the Scottish kamikaze pilot? He crashed his plane in his brother's scrapyard. Just to think of it, said McDougal to McNabb. Poor McTavish went fishing, fell into the lake, and was drowned. Are you sure he's dead? Asked McNabb. Oh, he's dead right enough, said McDougal. They fished him out, went through his pockets, and he never moved once. A Scottish preacher to his congregation said, I don't mind you putting buttons in the collection plate, but please provide your own buttons and don't pull them off the church pews. Another Scottish preacher is said to have prayed thus after a particularly unproductive collection. We thank you, O Lord, that the plate was returned safely. McTavish bought his wife an expensive Japanese fan, and he told her it would last for years if she held it still and moved her head from side to side. And then there was the pastor, the Scottish pastor, who was an electrician before they got going, and he went full time, and he got a good idea. What he did, they needed a new building, so he wired all the pews with electric wires. And so he got them all there. We run to the church, about 300. And he said, all right, you know, we need to get the building fund over there. Whoever will give $100 to the building fund, I want you to stand to your feet right now. And he pressed a button. And about 200 stood up to their feet, you know, being shocked like that. He said, wonderful. He said, this is going good. Now he said, whoever will give $250 to the new building fund, stand up right now. And he pressed another button. And about 60 stood to their feet. He said, excellent, excellent. And now he said, whoever will give $1,000 to the new building fund, right now, stand to your feet. And he threw the master switch and electrocuted 9 deacons. Okay, our text is Matthew 25. And verses 1 through 13. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. In the midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out and meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them and sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom come. And they were ready, went in to meet him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Help me. I need help. I never could do this. And if it's something got done, it was you. Holy Spirit of God, I ask you, Father, to give me the unction, give me the power to preach. I ask, Father, that something might be said to help the saints. I ask, Father, for something heavenly. And I ask that something might be said out of these lips of clay that will last for a million years or more. I ask you to preach this sermon for me, put me out in the truck. And I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher that ever preached. Amen. Amen. I'd like to preach a message entitled, Too Late. Too Late. A few years ago, Janet and I were in Portland, Oregon. We had a meeting in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we catch the airplane and going through that TSA deal. We got in there, and I didn't realize what I had done, and we were running a little late anyway, and going through the thing, the bags rolled down there, and all of a sudden this guy said, whose bag is this? And I said, mine, sir. And he pulled out this bone-handled knife that I use for African display, you know, for Zimbabwe. And he held the knife up, and he said, aha, and said to my wife, are you with him? She said, get over here. Now, about 8 or 9 of those TSA guys, and they got on the walkie, perpetrators, we got these guys, you know, and they come. Now, they started grilling. I said, we're missionaries. We're just poor missionaries. We're not doing nothing wrong. He said, this knife don't look so good to us. I mean, you'd have thought that we was the Son of Sam or the Unabomber or anything, and something like that, and Jack the Ripper. And as they stood around us, I said, we're going to miss our plane. They said, you probably might not even be flying today. And they said, just shut up and fill out this form. And I had to fill out this form really fast, and the line and everything. We finally got our luggage and started running down the concourse down there and at the United terminals. I said, the flight to Indianapolis. I said, Eubanks, hold it for us, please help us. And we ran and ran. And there was large bay windows there. And I saw that 737 just backing out of the gate there, a trailer full of it. I knew. And I went up to the gate agent. I said, please. I said, please, we're going to Indianapolis. We're preachers. And please, she said, I'm sorry. You're too late. I said, but there must be. She said, there's nothing I can do. She said, if that plane came back, there would be a ton of papers written out. There'd be reports. She said, I'm sorry. You're just too late. And I said, when's the next flight? And she said, 11 hours from then. So we had to wait in the Portland airport 11 hours. I called the pastor, and he said, it's all right. And he finally picked us up. But that day, because of my inconsistency and because I wasn't on the ball, we were too late. And very soon, ladies and gentlemen, for you as Christians, it's going to be too late to do some things. Number one, it's going to be too late for you to work for God. Do you have anything in your heavenly bank account? Have you done anything for God? You say, I go to church. That's for you. You know, that ain't for God. I mean, as far as doing something for Him, do you pass out gospel tracts? Do you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? You put a good amount of money in the plate? I mean, do you work? Do you do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, some years ago, a pastor told me, he said, Bill, every one of these you pass out is worth $50 heaven money. You know, and I never forgot that, brothers and sisters. Only now I kind of think maybe it's worth $500 heaven money. Every one of these that you pass out, that I think it's gone up. Now, in the summer here, it's really easy. You know, the people leave their doors open in the shopping centers and stuff, and their windows open, cracked open because of the sun. And you just go along and flip them in there, you know. And in the sunroofs, you can drop them through the sunroofs. You know, if you're afraid to pass them out, you can start on the children, little kids. You can give them to kids. You know what I do when I get scared? I put them on windshield clippers, you know, on the windshield wiper blades. If I go into Walmart or something and lose my nerve and got 10 or 12 tracks, I just clip 12 as I go out. I know a preacher in Portland, Oregon. His name is Pastor Richard Glenn. And he flew jets off of carriers in the Navy. And what he does is every Friday and Saturday night takes his church, a small Baptist church, and they go downtown Portland where they have the plays and the Broadway plays and the stuff like that and the movies and stuff. And the parking lots are full. And what they do is just go parking lots and track every windshield. It's like a Navy SEAL outfit. They got walkie-talkies and stuff. I've been with them. You know, security guard on level 2, look out. You know, we duck down and run around and clip them on there. And they take him and they get him out. His church must have got out 10 million tracks, you know, in the 20 years they've been there. Maybe 20 million. I don't know. But you can pass out tracts, you can work, you can do something for God. There's some simple things you can do. You don't have to be a great preacher like your preacher. You don't have to be a great missionary like come out of this church. You don't have to do that. You can just be a worker and do some small things for God. Do you have an answering machine? Do you have a cell phone? I hope one don't go off now. But do you have a cell phone? On your cell phone, you've got an answering machine, right? Do you have a gospel message on it? Why don't you? I mean, honestly, why don't you? Somebody calls. You could tell them, you know, you don't have to give them a 7-point outline or preach a half-hour sermon, but you could tell them that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, right? Call my wife's phone. Call my phone. There's a gospel message on that phone. Why not put your message on that phone? Aren't you tired of teleprompters calling you and asking you to buy junk you don't want? You have some land under the Brooklyn Bridge and something, you know? Why don't you do something like that? These bumper stickers, we said. You got one on the back of your car? Magnetic bumper sticker won't hurt your paint. Slap this on the back of your car. Why don't you got one if you don't? If you do, good for you. But if you don't, we got a lot of them over there. If you don't have the $5, I'll give them to you, you know. But just you run around town with it. They got their bumper stickers. You know, feed the whales, look out for the bluebirds. I hate Bush, and they got them. I get close to cars. I about wrecked my car reading if they got little ones. We got some pretty good size ones there. Got them on the King James Bible. Got them over there. You know, there's some things you can do that for the Lord Jesus Christ. Driving into this church, I saw some yard signs. The Dickman yard signs, Brother Dickman, where you put the yard signs in front of your house. Do you have one? Do you have one? If you don't, do you have it in the window of your apartment or something? The gospel? Identify who you are? This world hates Jesus Christ. They hate his guts. And if you get out street preach, and you do, and you know they do, why don't you stand up for him and not be ashamed of him and work for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I got a hold of this thing when I was 38 years old. I got saved. We got a job right away as in a rescue mission as a chaplain, and my wife worked with the ladies. And this working for God, it's a big army. And some of us are on the front line and right in the battle. But you know what army really consists of? Is about 90% of people in the background. The cooks, the bakers, the people that package the stuff, the transportation people. I had a guy change the oil in the truck coming over here. Synthetic oil. You know what it costs to get synthetic oil to take to downtown here someplace? I bet it would cost $75 for, and he did it for nothing for me. That board right there with the blue. There was a girl, my board got stolen in a rental car, and a girl named Tina that had the Daily Vacation Bible School. She made that board for me. A carpenter in Tennessee made the board, and she put the green stuff on it. We had some pictures, fortunately. Tina made the board. But there's work, and you can work before it's too late. I'll never forget, I was in church down in the border, Texas, towards Mexico. And I come out, and I had a van, and I had a low tire, real low. And a Mexican, he had coveralls on. He said, "The preacher, that tire's real low. Why don't you run up to my house? I'll fix it for you." I said, "Thank you." We went up to his house. He had a compressor inside his house. He came out with hand tools, took the tire off, changed it, patched it, put it on, put it in water. It still had a leak in it. Did it again, patched it again, straightened it out. No leak now. Took him about an hour. Put that thing on. Sweat was running off his face. Put it on there. And he said, "That'll fix you up now, preacher. You're all set to go." I took a $10 bill out of my pocket and gave it to him. He said, "No! No, you man of God." I said, "I'm a no good sinner." I said, "Take this." He said, "No, you man of God. You man of God." That boy, that man's going to get a reward for what he did. Before it's too late, why don't you go to work? I heard a testimony before we started this thing about those people working in the last hour. It ain't too late. Ain't too late. You can go to work. Then pretty soon it'll be too late to work for Jesus Christ. It'll be too late to share your wealth with Jesus Christ. Show me your checkbook. I'll show you your spirituality about that money. Boy, Christians get sideways about that money. I'm telling you, I don't understand Christians. I really don't. Years ago, an aviation missionary got a hold of me. And we just started out. And we was in a farmhouse church in Indiana. And it was a great big building. And we were going to preach Wednesday, and it was Sunday night. And he had just finished showing his work about aviation ministry. And he saw me for what I was. He said, "You're a new missionary, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You want to know how to get support?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Meet me down here at 8 o'clock. Bring your Bible." Boy, I was there at 7:30. I had my Bible already. But he tricked me. He took me over to Matthew and said, "Whatever meets you measure, be measured you withal." See, I was real tight and cheap when it started this thing. I didn't see why God needed a tithe. I wouldn't even tithe God, except I thought he'd hit me in the head or something like that. I didn't want to tithe. What do I need to tithe for? God's got the dough. I need the money. And my wife kept saying, "Let's give 20%, Bill. Let's." I know, shut up. What are you, Baptist or something? 20%. I said, 10 is plenty. I'm running this house, and 10% is all we're given. She said, "Oh, man, she can't believe you." But this aviation ministry, he said, took me over there, and I said, "Are you trying to tell me that if I want to get money that I'm supposed to give it out first to missions?" He said, "That's exactly what I'm..." I said, "You don't understand." He said, "No, you don't understand, son." I said, "All right." And I thought about that deal and talked over with Janet. She was all for it. And that day, we sent a $25 money order to two kids that were on the field, and a $25 money order to two kids down at the school that were going to go on the mission field. Sent it out that day. We were out about 3 or 4 months. Motorhome, you know the deal, towing a van, and out, and then we come back to our little mission station in Bristol, Tennessee. We came back up there, and I leveled the motorhome. I went over and got our mail, and I was coming over. I had a big stack of mail. I started opening these letters. "Brother Eubanks, our missionary to Mexico has quit. We're going to give you his money. Brother Eubanks, the deacons have decided to take you on for so much. Brother Eubanks, the Holy Ghost has told us to start supporting you monthly. Brother Eubanks, here's a love offering." The money just piled up. And I saw that guy was right. And then I got a hold of that thing, and I ran over to Janet. And I ran bursting through the motorhome, and I said, "Janet, that guy's right. Look at this money here." I said, "Now let's take on some Jews." And some money started flying through the window. That thing works. You think God is going to let you outgive Him? I'm so happy. I'm so happy that I've learned to give and share my wealth with the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Y2K? I got ready for Y2K. I know you would too. I'm going to take care of my family. But I heard a seminar on Y2K and how the Chinese were going to launch their missiles, and the water was going off, and the banks were going to shut down, and everything was coming to a halt, 2000. And so I prepared. I bought a scooter. It's got 120 miles to the gallon. And I bought two pistols. And I have a pastor friend in Tennessee. He's got a farm church. And I said, "Pastor, can we park the motorhome in the farm church there for Y2K? He said, "Welcome. Well, go ahead." So we got the pistols, and then we got the scooter. See, my idea was like this. We'd have water buckets, and Janet would be on the back of the scooter, ding, 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 and then she would shoot anybody that tried to take our water. We had little wicks, you know, those little candle wicks. We had water purifiers. We had army packets of dried food. Anybody need any tuna? We got a couple cases left over. I mean, I prepared. I'm going to let those Nashville guys come and hurt us, you know. Y2K, the world's coming to an end. I had a brand new Buick a guy gave me. It's 2 years old. I called him up. I said, "Can I sell this car?" He said, "Yeah, if you want to, I'll give it to you." So I sold the car. I bought $10,000 in gold Cougarans. And then I bought $5,000 in silver. Half quarter bags of quarters and dimes, real silver, you know, ding, you know. And I bought $15,000 in gold and silver and buried it under the motorhome. Well, we're sitting there. We looked like we were pretty well prepared. I didn't know what else to get, you know. And that night, wow, here come Y2Ks. We're the year 2000. And I think it started over in Hong Kong or something, you know. Happy New Year! Everything's fine. And then they come to Hawaii, you know. Hey, it's going good, you know. And they come over. And then pretty soon, and I knew when it got to New York and they dropped that big ball in Times Square, I knew that everything wasn't going to come. I was mad, really, that Y2K didn't happen. And everything didn't come to an end. Well, I got out of it pretty good. I sold the scooter. I got the money out of that. We ate up most of the food. And we got out of that pretty good. And then one night I was reading the Bible. And I was sitting there reading the Bible. And I was in Deuteronomy, reading the Bible. And a voice said out of the Bible, "The gold and silver are mine." I said, "What?" And so I read a little more. And it said, "The gold and silver are mine." I said, this can't be. And so I turned over two or three pages, Deuteronomy. And he said, "Bill, the gold and silver are mine." I said, "Lord, are you telling me to get that gold and silver and give it to missionaries?" And he said, "That's exactly what I'm telling you, son." So I dug it up, went to Nashville, found a trader, and I had the New York Stock Exchange deal. Got $15,000 in cash. Got 15 $1,000 money orders. We prayed over who to give it to. Wrote out $1,000 money orders to 15 different missionaries. None of us had nothing to do with us. Sent them away like that. And down at that little post office in Carthage, Tennessee that day, my hand was shaking as I was getting up. And I didn't want to do it, but I put them in there and got those letters. I went out to the mailbox in front of the little post office, and I started to put them in the slot. I just couldn't let them go. I thought maybe I could get them back, you know, and sign them again or get that money back. And I just couldn't let them go, and all of a sudden I just threw them in there. And I just said, then I thought maybe I ought to go back in the postmaster and try to, I said, "Just shut up, Bill." And I got in the car and went home and just read the Bible, I think, and took a baby aspirin and went to sleep or something. I don't know what I did. You might say, "Bill, do you know what gold's worth now?" Yeah, I do know what gold's worth. Do you know if we had to save that gold and silver? Do you know and started adding to it a little bit? Janet got an inheritance from Mama, bought a house, and we had to put that money in gold and silver and maybe a little more money. Now maybe I'd have had $400,000 in gold and silver. And now maybe it had me, and I couldn't give it away. See, God knows your limits. He knows what to do. This courageous giving, you don't start out, weightlifters don't start out bench pressing 500 pounds. You start out giving, and you'll get stronger and stronger and stronger like that. He knew exactly where we was at. And I'm so happy tonight that money's in the bank of heaven. And those missionaries got that money. It's going to be too late. Too late to work. Too late to share your wealth. And number three, lastly, it's going to be too late real soon to walk with God. To walk with God. Do you walk with God? We're not going to embarrass anybody here and say who prayed last night 1 hour. We're not going to do that. I'd be embarrassed. You know, it's a busy life, isn't it? You get up, and you get your coffee, and get going, and you get the job, and get the kids, and get going, and running, and then the afternoon comes, and then the night, and then another day, and then too late. Too late. When's the last time you spent 20, 30 minutes with God? Just you and Him, in the corner, in the closet. It's going to be too late. One of these days you'll see Him face to face. You'll have your new glorious body and all that business. But would you agree with me that the most important thing in the Christian life is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Would anybody disagree with that? Well, how is your relationship? If your husband and wife, if you talk to them as much as you talk to God, would they still be with you? Too late. One of these days, it's going to be too late. Sweet hour of prayer that called me from a world of care. Hour of prayer. Too late. Too late. How about we get going? You know, you can't start out You can't start out lifting 500 pounds if you're a bench presser. But you can start with the bar. That's where I start. That weighs 45 pounds. How about 15 minutes of prayer a day? 15 minutes? 15 minutes of prayer a day? Getting a list of the missionaries, Pastor Beach, Pastor Dean. 15 minutes. About three chapters of Bible a day. Or even 3 pages. One time a missionary came through and he said, you need to read 40 pages of Bible a day. I did it for 2 days. I missed those 2 days. Next day I missed. I did 80. The next, then I quit for 8 months. You know. But you can read 3 pages. And you can read 3 chapters. And you can pray 15 minutes a day before it's too late. Before it's too late. So Christian, I don't mean to be hard on you tonight. I'm really preaching it myself. Just want you to be close to God. We don't want to be like those 10 virgins that they missed the oil there and they got left out. They were too late. You don't want to be like Janet and I at the Portland airport when I had to sit 11 hours in the airport. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be that way. And as the brother testified, let's start right now. Start doing something for God. Working for Him, do a little something. Sharing your wealth with Him. And a walk with God. Pastor Dean, would you come, please? Would you come? Thank you very much.
I want you to go to Matthew.